Welcome to the City Club of Eugene program, annual meeting, and Turtles Awards. I would like to advise you that prior to going on the air, we did have the annual meeting, and the following officers will serve next year. Eric Richardson will become president. Jessica Guglieri will become president-elect. The new board members are Josh Burstein, Skip Coburn, Scott Coltrane, Kitty Piercy, and Catherine Schacht. City Club is funded by businesses and sponsors. Our diamond sponsors are Kaiser Permanente. Kaiser Permanente exists to provide high quality, affordable health care services and to improve the health of our members and the communities that we serve. More information at www.kp.org. The University of Oregon. Since 1876, UO has helped Oregonians question critically, think logically, reason effectively, communicate clearly, act creatively, and live ethically. More information at uoregon.edu. Peace Health. Our mission is our shared purpose since we were founded over 125 years ago, to promote personal and community wellness, to relieve pain and suffering, to treat each person in a loving and caring way. For more information, visit peacehealth.org. And our Sapphire sponsor, Summit Bank. Support for the City Club comes from Summit Bank, your local community bank, an independent community bank headquartered here in Eugene. Summit serves businesses and professionals in the Eugene-Springfield area and Central Oregon communities. For more information, SBKO Bank. The Turtle Awards is one of my favorite programs every year. It is a wonderful tradition of recognizing excellence in public service. And the turtles the first turtle was John Van Landingham, who is the chief turtle wrangler now. And you think herding cats is difficult? Try herding turtles. He calls the turtles together, and they decide on which member of our community meets the criteria to become this year's Turtle Awards. So right now, I'm going to turn the program over to John.
Thank you, Joel. I am John Van Landingham, and I am a turtle. I serve as the unelected chair and electronic secretary of the Turtle Committee. And in a shout out to Joel's wife, I am the only staff person for the Turtle Committee. The Turtle Committee is an unelected, unofficial group of Turtle Award winners. There have been 51 of us since 1991, and there are 41 of us still alive. It's the best committee you could ever be on. It only meets once, for an hour, and it has only one task, and that is to pick new turtles. We do have some difficulty because we disagree about one of the criteria, which is being courteous, which may conflict with the other criteria of sticking your neck out for change. The first Turtle Award was given in 1991, as I said, and it was the idea, the brainstorm of three of the club's founders, Gene Tate, who is here today, Jerry Gatos, and Bob Moulton, who is no longer with us. The honorees get a cast iron turtle, a real turtle, or a real cast iron turtle. The first of those cast iron turtles came from Santa Fe, where Jean Tate bought it as a gift for her husband, gave it to her husband, and then promptly took it back to give to me. So I want to recognize the turtles who are here today and ask, if I miss somebody, please let me know. Ask that you wave your hand so that you can be recognized. So I'm going to start with Susan Siegel, Ron Chase, Bill Morissette, Gene Tate, I mentioned already, Steve Moe, the mayor of Glenwood, Daryl Larson, usually in Mexico. Molly and John Stafford, Dan Bryant, Marion Malcolm, and I think that's it. Did I miss somebody who came in late? Oh, the DeBurs. How could I possibly forget the DeBurs from last year? So I also want to note that last year was a difficult year for the Turtle Committee, and we wanted to honor a man named Charles Martinez from the University of Oregon. We weren't able to do that last year. We had hoped to do that this year. But unfortunately for us, Charles Martinez left the University of Oregon and went to the University of Texas in the fall. So last September, the Turtle Committee gave what we call the Turtles Turtle Award to Charles Martinez. And I just want to note that because he's a special person and we're it's a loss for us to lose him from our community. I also want to thank Joel in particular for keeping the Turtle Committee together and so much appreciating the Turtle Award that we feel welcome and encouraged. We're going to start with Marion Malcolm and Dan Bryant presenting the first turtle to Michael Kerrigan.
Hi, everybody. As Dan said, I'm Marion Malcolm. I'm a supposedly retired calc staffer and current consultant, and I'm a proud turtle. And this morning I double-checked the Turtle Award criteria, and it made me wonder why Michael hadn't gotten the award even sooner, because he has more than met every single one of the award criteria. Michael walked into the Office of Community Alliance of Lane County sometime in the fall of 1961, dropping by to visit a college friend of his who worked for Calc. He had just arrived in town, but he very quickly began volunteering with Calc. However, he also had an itchy foot, and so he took off to wander the globe, leaving his car parked by my house where it filled up with rainwater. After Michael returned from his travels, he moved to Portland, and he worked there for a couple of different nonprofits for a series of years, returning to Eugene in 2004. And soon after that, he began working at Calc, doing development work and volunteering, and later being hired as a staff person for Calc's Peace Program. That was 15 years ago. Michael, at the very least, is a persistent guy, deeply committed to peace and to social and environmental justice. Working at Calc has never been just a job for Michael. I think it's a lot more like a calling. Michael has stayed with Calc through thick and thin. Anyone who knows the nonprofit world knows that there are ups and downs. There were times of transition or financial crisis at Calc when Calc quite likely might have gone under, except for Michael's willingness to do whatever needed doing to keep Calc moving forward. Michael's willing to be at the microphone or in the background. He can speak at a city council meeting, as he often has, make a fundraising pitch or bank deposit, answer the phone, answer the door, arrange a sound system for an event, provide guidance for an intern, offer peacekeeping for marches and rallies, staff a literature table, and then when it's time to clean up, help fold the chairs. At Calc, he's the guy who takes out the garbage and the recycling. Michael is a zealot about recycling. In fact, we wouldn't have much recycling if we all heeded Michael's efforts to only use things which are not disposable. A particular strength of Michael's is to be able to relate to grassroots activists with a strong sense of urgency and at the same time to the powers that be, who often move slowly. He's able to help them understand and respect one another, forging connections that get things done. Michael loves networking and working in partnerships. He recently worked with a number of groups for an event on Tax Day about national priorities and about the impact of militarism on the environment. Next week, he'll start meeting with people from several peace groups and with folks from the Japanese American community to begin planning for the annual Hiroshima remembrance that will happen in August. If you see Michael anywhere in the community, he's quite likely to hand you a flyer about an upcoming event. And he'll probably collar you before you leave today to ask you to sign a signature ad that Calc plans to publish in the Register Guard on Memorial Day weekend, so be warned. Michael enjoys welcoming new people and new groups to Calc. I can't even tell you how many times I've walked into Calc and found a group meeting in the front room there with Michael facilitating. Michael's not the executive director of Calc, by the way, because Calc doesn't have an executive director, but he is Calc's esteemed senior staffer. He continues to do development work and fundraising, as well as program work. The program areas he coordinates are Calc's Peace Program and our Shelter Rights Program. And in a minute, I'll turn this over to Dan Bryant, who will talk more about Michael's work for shelter in both Eugene and Springfield. Dan will probably also share his perceptions about Michael's role in the community. How does Michael keep going 15 years and more, you might ask? Maybe getting tired sometimes, but never burning out. The answer is he plays with as much enthusiasm as he works. In the winter, he'll be skiing every chance he gets. In the summer, he'll be camping or swimming. His joy in those activities is evident, and they restore him. I think he's a wonderful role model in that way. I wonder, though, does Michael ever just do nothing at all? I kind of doubt it. Over to you, Dan.
Thank you, Marion. And in Michael's defense, I think you meant 81. Either that or Michael is much older than he looks. Because I was only six in 1961. I don't know about Michael, but he has been around for a long time. And it is really a delight for me to share in presenting this award to Michael. I don't recall when we first event, undoubtedly first met, but undoubtedly it was either a Calc event or some rally, because Michael is always at just about any rally. He's one of those guys who just always seems to be there, advocating for some cause, organizing to fight some injustice, more often than not, working behind the scenes, setting up the tables or making the phone calls, putting up the banners, whatever it takes. And he's a great person to have in your organization because he is that proverbial ever-ready bunny, you know, just running around taking care of whatever needs to be done. And he's a superb collaborator and grassroots organizers who knows how to build effective coalitions to work for peace with justice, human rights, and equality. And Michael, as Marion has already said, has been especially a valuable partner working to combat homelessness. Those who were here back in 2011 remember the Occupy movement and the folks that were protesting in solidarity with the people on Wall Street and therefore were camping out. And our unhoused citizen said, cool, you found a legal way to camp in the city. Can we join you? And the occupiers said, well, of course. And thereby formed this new coalition of the housed and unhoused, almost literally overnight. And when that protest came to an end here in Eugene at the end of 2011, that coalition continued. And Michael provided the organizing glue to keep it together, hosting the weekly meetings at the office of Calc, as many of those involved in Occupy shifted their focus to figure out what we could do as a community to create more shelter for our members here who were without any. And out of that, arose a couple of new alternatives, and Michael was involved in each of them in some way, serving on the board of the Nightingale Health Sanctuary that has one of the rest stops in town just next to Good Samaritan on Hilliard, and serving on the board of Square One Villages, the organization of which I am a part that runs Opportunity Village, a transitional shelter program that provides shelter for up to 35 people at Opportunity Village, and now the new affordable housing program with 22 tiny homes. And then some of you may know, recently received a $500,000 grant for a similar project in Cottage Grove. And I remember, yeah, that was very cool. That came from the county. And I remember, too, when Eric DeBurr came to the office of Calc and presented his ideas for Conestogas that are now scattered around the community through their wonderful organization, Community Supported Shelters. And so Michaels had his hand in each of these. Michaels, one of these key organizers for the annual point in time count that seeks to identify every person without a home here in our community. He serves on the Human Relations Committee for the Homeless. He's a frequent volunteer for the Egan Warming Center. On behalf of Calc, he staffs the Springfield Shelter Rights Alliance that works on issues in Springfield, as Marion said. And in all of these capacities, Michael's provided a critical bridge between the city and county officials with those living on the street. He's one of those people who's just as comfortable talking to a United States senator as he is talking to a chronically homeless person, and he treats each of them with the same respect. And I'm always glad when I have Michael with me lobbying for some bill in Salem or talking to one of our members of Congress, because he comes equipped with the necessary facts, speaks intelligently, and knows how to apply the right kind of pressure. Michael is what I would call a champion for the Universal Declaration of Human Rights. He lives and breathes the first article, which states all human beings are born free and equal in dignity and rights. His advocacy for the dispossessed and disadvantaged is a testament to the 25th article. Everyone has the right to a standard of living adequate for the health and well-being of himself and his family, including food, clothing, housing, medical care, and necessary social services. Michael is a frequent supporter of equal protection under the law, Article 7, the rights of workers to organize, Article 14, the rights of immigrants and those seeking asylum in this country, Article 23, and much more. In sum, Michael sticks his neck out for the good of others, the good of our community, the good of our nation, and the good of our world. He is a turtle of the first order. So congratulations, Michael, on this recognition so well deserved. There is your turtle.
It's an honor to be presented with the Turtle Award today. I know many of the turtles, and it's a fine group to join up with. It's folks taking action to make our community a better place to live. And it's a special honor to receive the award from two turtles who I look up to. I arrived in Eugene, it was the fall of 1980. I'm not quite that old. A buddy of mine from college, Doug Barber, was working at Calc, so I signed up to volunteer. And that's when I met Marion, who served as a mentor, training me to be a good community organizer. And she's still serving that role for me today. Thank you, Marion. And I've come and gone over the years, as Marion said, but I started working in Calc in 2004, and it's been a great ride ever since. I've gotten to know Dan doing the homeless advocacy work I do and by serving on the board of Square One Village, and it has just been a treat to work with him. And making this day even more special for me is becoming a turtle along with community leader and my friend and neighbor, Kitty Piercy. It's Whitaker Day here at the City Club. There are many reasons why I appreciate Kitty, but the next one stands out for me. 6 years ago, the folks from the Palmo Peace Center, who were bringing the Dalai Lama to town, asked for a contact in the peace community, and Kitty gave them my name. It was a great experience for me working with that group and getting to meet the Dalai Lama. I'm still involved with them today, and thank you again, Kitty, for making that happen for me. The Dalai Lama is known for his great compassion for humanity and all who live on the planet. But when he was in Eugene, he stressed the need to turn this compassion into action. And boy, do we need that action today. Locally, there are scores of people every night who don't have a safe place to sleep. White nationals are organizing locally, and immigrants are under attack. Climate experts at the UN say we need to take on climate change immediately if we want to ensure that humans and other living things can safely live on planet Earth. But I am an optimist. It's time for us to take action, so I feel if we organize, we can make this community a place that where everybody can thrive. And to do that, we have to network. As Dan said, I love to network. It's really, that's how we are going to make our community a better place. It's how we are going to save this earth. It's by coming together to do that. As many of you know, I don't go anywhere without my clipboard or a piece of literature to hand out. Today is no exception. So every year on Memorial Day, Calc does a peace ad in the Register Guard Old School, and I still think it's important to do that. And we're doing it again this year. Our call to action this year is Planet versus Pentagon, fight climate change, not war. Transferring wasteful military spending to fund programs to save our planet is an immediate action we must take to ensure our long-term future. Come find me after the program, and I'll add your name to the ad or check out the Calc Facebook page. And thank you again, City Club and the Turtles, for giving me that award today. It's an honor I will, remember forever. Thank you.
You can tell that Michael is experienced in testifying before the City Council. That was exactly 3 minutes. So since I recognized Turtles, I want to note that Nancy Gold came in. So, and did anybody else, any other Turtles come in since then? Okay, so the second Turtle this year goes to Kitty Piercy, and the presenters are going to be Dave Funk, Molly Stafford, and Bill Morissette.
Thanks, John. And congratulations, Michael, on an honor well-deserved. I know Kitty and David just got back from Japan, so what I want to talk about is Kitty's courage, but I'm going to give you an example from when I was in Japan with Kitty and David several years ago. In 2005, my wife, Dwayne, and I, and note that I mentioned my wife, please. Yeah. My wife, Dwayne, and I accompanied Kitty and David and some others to our sister cities in Kakagawa, Japan, and Jinju, South Korea. After a grueling week in South Korea, we flew to Tokyo, and from Tokyo we took a train to Kakagawa, where we were met at the station and did the exchange of business cards, and we were promptly whisked away to hot springs on the side of a hill outside of Kakagawa. There we were expected to get naked with our hosts, which is an unusual way to meet new people, and not the way that we do it here in Eugene, at least to my knowledge. Kitty was clearly nonplussed by this, and it was way outside her comfort zone, but she did, in characteristic Kitty fashion, she just went, well, here we go. And plunged in, so to speak. Actually, I don't know that she plunged in. It was segregated by gender, and so I don't know Kitty that well. but it's that well, here we go attitude that really makes Kitty who Kitty is. She'll plunge into anything that if she feels it's right, regardless of the political or personal consequences. And I got to see this over the years, for many years. Let me go back even further than Japan 2005 to around 2001 to remind you who were here what Eugene was like then. By all measures, it was a fairly dysfunctional city. City council meetings were dysfunctional and contentious. They had the anonymous Gang of Nine was putting angry cartoons in the newspaper, criticizing anything they deemed liberal. Downtown storefronts were boarded up, and those businesses that were still here were struggling to survive. Eugene police force was increasingly militaristic. West Eugene Parkway, which had been under discussion since 1986, was coming to a head. There had been an advisory vote that was almost a 50-50 split. Civil discourse everywhere was diminishing. Things like sustainability were met with, were considered to be an environmental wacko scheme. It's hard to believe that now, where you could read the Plumbers Daily and find articles about sustainability. Things were so bad then that Jack Roberts, then with the Metro Partnership, and Rob Zacho, then with Thousand Friends of Oregon, gathered 14 people together to see if we could have some civil discourse. There were 7 progressives, 7 conservatives there, and in this group, which we informally called the Round Table, even though I'd known Kitty for 40 years, we reconnected at this time. And when she came to our company and asked, would we help her with her campaign, my partner, Anne-Marie Levis, And I took about 10 seconds to say, yeah, we're on board. And out of that, once she was elected, then that the strategy team that she had morphed into what became her kitchen cabinet. And so for the next 12 years, myself and my fellow kitchen cabinet people had front row seats to watch Kitty and how she faced the challenges she faced. And she faced them the same way every time with her characteristic, well, here we go. I watched her stick her neck out so many times, it's amazing that she has one at all. She had to deal with things like right off the bat, the LTD bus strike. There were these minor things like the mayor's prayer breakfast and the city council flag salute issue. Kitty wasn't about to be defined by false piety or false patriotism. There was the downtown revitalization, the Occupy camp that was mentioned under the Washington Jefferson Bridge, the recession, the changing local economy, and perhaps the most contentious, the West Eugene Parkway. And with the same, well, here we go, Kitty plunged headlong into each issue. I want to briefly disclose one issue that I was closest to, and that was the Sustainable Business Initiative. Sustainability, as I mentioned, at that time, was viewed with total distrust by the business community and largely misunderstood everywhere. To help bridge the divide in the community, which was Kitty was always trying to include everybody, she made sure that the task force was composed of people from all around the city, conservative, religious, liberal, everything, as many people as we could get into the whatever we had, 16 people. And she saw it as an economic development issue that or initiative that could unite the community in both a common cause while helping businesses, the people, and the planet. I was co-chair of that task force with Rusty Rexius. And Kitty, Rusty, and I, and Bob Doppelt, who I saw here somewhere, we went everywhere we could, explaining then what sustainability was. We talked to civic groups and business groups, fraternal organizations, neighborhoods, anyone who would listen, and explaining how this could help the bottom line and help Eugene move into a new economy. In many cases, we were met with skepticism and suspicion, but slowly the ideas took hold. It took a year and a half of monthly meetings and meetings with over 750 people, and we recommended 21 different initiatives for the city and businesses and nonprofits to undertake. The work that Kitty started gained acceptance and continues to this day with the Sustainability Commission, the Bold Steps Award, Brings Rethink Program, and the triple bottom line analysis used by the City of Eugene to look at the sustainability effect of city initiatives. None of this would have happened without the courage, foresight, determination, and leadership of Mayor Kitty Piercy. She truly deserves this award.
I'm Molly Stafford, and I met Kitty about 40 years ago. The two of us were serving on the Eugene 4J Community School Coordinating Council. The community school program was jointly funded by School District 4J and the City of Eugene, and it paid for staff to bring neighborhood adults into 4J's six most economically disadvantaged schools. And these adults came in to help teachers, to mentor students, and to provide extracurricular activities after school. It also opened up the buildings to be used by the neighborhood after school, evenings, weekends. Those schools were just humming all the time. And Kitty and I really feel like we were making Eugene a better place to live. Well, Kitty has gone on doing that ever since. Education has been important to Kitty. She spent 10 years teaching preschool at Ida Patterson Community School. She's read to school children in almost every school in the district and also at the library. And Kitty's also been there for all kinds of things. She's always a supporter of the library campaigns to get the library built and keep the library open with sufficient staffing to really serve the community. Yeah, that's an issue that's been particularly near and dear to my heart. And almost everyone knows about Kitty's tenure in the state legislature, which Bill Morissette's going to talk more about. and her service as mayor of Eugene, but I don't know how many of you know how much she does for culture and the arts in Eugene. Kitty just not only says that she supports them, she's actually there. She buys tickets, she goes to the concerts, she goes to the programs, she goes to the lectures, and she even participates in them. How many of you know that Kitty had a cameo role in Pirates of Penzance when the opera presented that in 2012? She played some kind of little bird instrument in the symphony. She put on ballet shoes when Eugene had the biggest ballet class. And she also has led some of the groups on the First Friday Art Walks. Kitty is really there for the community in so many different ways. She's stuck out her neck, she's worked on collaborative solutions, and she truly deserves this Turtle Award. Thanks, Kitty.
Well, I think it's a real honor to be here today, and I am proud that I nominated both of the contestants to receive the Turtle Award, because I was at a monthly meeting on 9/11 remembrance, and Kitty was there one time, and I said, "Kitty, are you a turtle?" She said, "I don't know. I don't know what that is." And I said, "Well, have you ever stuck your neck out, made a decision that people didn't like?" And she lit up and said, "Oh, yeah, a lot of times." Okay, well, yesterday we went to the state legislature. My daughter and son-in-law from Ontario were in town and wanted to go to the legislature, so we did. And the first place we went to was the Senate, and waited and waited and waited. Nothing happened. I sat down on the floor with Lee Beyer, Senator Beyer. That was an honor. But the Republicans did not show. They're an endangered species, the Republicans are. And, oh, sorry about that for you Republicans out there. But it's a frustrating thing that they walk out. They're there to do the people's business. They're there to vote and to do the best they can, but not leave the Capitol, which is what is happening right now. So it's kind of frustrating. Now, Kitty was in the state legislature, and she was a minority whip, I think, for the Democratic Party. And so she has legislative experience and understands what that's all about. So anyway, I am very happy to support, you know, to speak on behalf of Kitty, because she certainly has earned this award for all of the things that she's done with Planned Parenthood and other organizations. And so congratulations.
So I really, this is Kitty Piercy, and I really appreciate the honor of being named a turtle. Thank you very, very much. And thank you to everybody who spoke about things that they think I deserve to be a turtle for. I appreciate those comments very much. Most of all, I appreciate the time I spent with you. Most of all, as I look around this room, most of all, I appreciate the time I spent with you. I could look all around this room and see people who I've worked with on things that have been very meaningful to our community and that I'm very proud of about our community. From people with disabilities being fully recognized and fully enfranchised, to homeless folks having people who really understand and care about them and go the extra mile, to the people that I served with on city council, like Betty. And I guess I want to, before I get in trouble here, I want to mention my husband, David Piercy. John said to me, "When you talk today, why don't you tell people why you do what you do?" And I would say about my husband, David, is that He made it possible for me to do what I do. He is a kind of strong support, walk by your side and his hand at your back, that it takes to take on all the things that I've taken on. It would be very, very difficult if I didn't have that partner in my life. So one more round for David. So here's how I look at how I got into doing the things that I do. I didn't plan any of it. And that's the truth. I never thought about being in politics. Never occurred to me to be in politics. I did have a time in my life when I was, a freshman in college, and I was trying to figure out what would make me feel like a complete person. And I decided that if I really divided my life into thirds, about what I, a third for my family, a third for my career goals, and a third for what I do for the world. And if I kept that in balance, I was going to be a happy gal. And that's the way my life has been. Every time one gets out of whack, I try to push it back so that I balance all those things and don't forget any of them, but keep them all up front and important all the time. As many of you know, although it didn't get mentioned very much today, that I sort of honed my political life through being an activist. I was an activist for women's rights, and in particular, the most difficult issue in the world, in my opinion, women's reproductive rights. Yes. And I was very, very shy, as some people in this room know. But what happened is, as life is like this, you know, you're working with people to try to protect the rights of people, to make it so it's a fair and just world for everyone, and someone needs to be the one who will stand up. So someone needs to make that speech that makes my knees knock and makes me so nervous that I had to make those speeches over and over again. I had to do the TV interviews because other people were reluctant to do the TV interviews. I learned all those things just by going ahead and doing them, even though my stomach ached and I felt very nervous all the time. And at one point, after I think I've been doing this stuff for about 7 years, all over the state, I said to myself, well, I guess I'm never going to feel good doing this. I just might as well accept it and consider it part of the work that I have to do, which is what I did. And I still do. Every time I take on something new, I still get those butterflies in my stomach because that is the person I am. But I also found that when I did things, that I grew. And then if I did more things, even with really hard things, I grew. I grew as a person, and I grew as a member of our community. And I really appreciated that gift to me. Right out of college, you know, I listened to John Kennedy, and I joined the Peace Corps and served in Africa for 2 years, which was a really remarkable thing for somebody who probably hadn't been any further than two blocks down the street before that that time. And the gift that gave me more than anything was becoming a world citizen. Never again in my life did I just think of myself as somebody who came from the United States. I thought of myself as a person in a world of really valuable cultures and valuable people. And I've carried that with me in everything that I've done. No matter who I'm dealing with, I carry that with me all the time. When I was in the legislature, tough times in the legislature because they wanted women in the legislature wanted to get some positions, and they hadn't gotten any. And I was the first minority leader. There had been a couple women who had been majority leaders, but I was the first minority leader, and female minority leader. And so the women in my caucus wanted some representation. And so I hadn't planned on doing that, but I did that. And I became an assistant caucus leader. I had planned on just serving on committees and doing the grunt work. And I had no notion of going into leadership. But then they asked me if I'd consider running for head of the whole caucus. And so I thought about it and said, well, if you want me to, I'll try. And so I did that too. And even having to actually deal with some of my own colleagues being biting my ankles all the way, it's kind of what happens in those circumstances when people, we had term limits then, and people are competing for the same jobs, and can get to be pretty vicious. I had the experience of my own colleagues. Well, I'll tell you this one. When I ran for leadership, the people who thought they were going to be leaders kind of patted me on the head and said, "That's nice." And so then when I won, they were unhappy. So one of them switched parties. One of them dropped out after the primary, and one of them wrote a nasty letter to the editor, to the Statesman Journal, saying she never would be in leadership if she wasn't a woman. It's all sexist. That's just one of the many hurdles. And so by the time I got through all that bruising and came out the other side, when I got to be mayor, piece of cake. Hard issues, but you know, you feel, I just want to say that you take pride when things are hard and you work really hard at it and you manage to move things forward. You take pride when you work with someone like Michael, my neighbor, my friend, when we hit many difficult issues when I was mayor, and Michael and I always worked together through many of them. So I had a treasure trove of wonderful people who helped me along the way, and I was deeply grateful. I see them around this room. I'm deeply grateful to each and every one of you that you know I've had a special relationship with. I believe in leadership because I believe in leadership. You grow and you get to work on things that you hope will make your community a better place. I believe in listening to people because I think even in the people you disagree with the most, there's something valuable to be heard that you ought to listen to and build into your thinking process. I believe in so much in that people are capable of great good and great evil. And as I say to myself all the time, I'd rather be working on the good stuff. So that's why I do what I do. Thank you very much.
We have some time that we didn't expect, so we're going to take a 5-minute break, and we're going to allow questions to the winners after that 5-minute break. So discuss questions among your table and be ready to ask questions when we come back from the break. Thank you.
Good evening. You're listening to City Club of Eugene on KLCC Eugene 89.7, KLCO Newport 90.5, KLFR Reedsport 89.1, and at 88.1 KLFO Florence, KMPQ Roseburg, and KLBR Bend. KLCC is a service of Lane Community College. You can find all City Club of Eugene programs on our website, klcc.org.
Welcome back to the May 10th 2019 program, the annual meeting and election of officers, and the annual Turtle Awards. Before we proceed, I'd like to recognize our gold sponsors, Homes for Good, Arriving by Bike, Emergency Veterinary Hospital, and Pacific Cascade Credit Union. Thanks to KVRM 91.9, Dot Dots and Photography, Pack Info, and Simplified Computing, LLC. Before we go to questions, I would just like to say that we're glad at City Club that Kitty has managed to fit us into one of those three buckets for next year when she will serve on the board. Now, John Van Landingham will honcho the questions, and Kitty and Michael, who don't know it yet, will be answering the questions probably from here, I think, since we have a microphone here.
Thanks, Joel. John Van Landingham again. And let me also note that we've been joined by another turtle, Jerry Gatos. Raise your hand. Thank you. Anybody else that I've missed or that was late? So the concept here is that people get to ask one of the new turtles a question, and they get to answer. And it's pretty simple. Go, Mary.
I'm Mary Layton, a member of City Club, I think since 2006, whenever Marty told me to join. And my table has a question that is a continuing kind of a plague on our house. We are fortunate this year to have two people of color in leadership positions, our incoming president and our executive director, highly competent people, and we're glad they found time in their life for us. But if you look around the room, you see a lot of white people whose gray would be hair would be gray, except if measures were taken. And we know that your success in the community, both of you, Michael and Kitty, has not involved only the usual suspects who look like us. What would you recommend for City Club to engage more people in the important business of talking about civic issues, not just leftish and middle-ish, but more diverse in every way? What can you advise?
Thank you for that question. I guess the first thing I would advise is don't make people think you're doing them a favor by asking them. That, to me, is a good reason not to show up. Secondly, I've been doing a lot of thinking about this. This is a very big, not specifically for City Club, but it's a very big issue to me, and I have very strong feelings that we as a nation and even as a community haven't come to terms with our past. We have actually not in any meaningful way said we're sorry about some of the history of our state and our nation. And it's a horrible history. And you can't move on down the road till you really acknowledge what has happened before and then seriously aim at saying we're not going to let that happen again. And you have to give people voice by giving them voice, not just inviting them or not treating them like you're giving them an opportunity or they're doing you a favor or something. You live together. You live in this community together. You need those voices, and they need to feel that you need those voices. So there is a way of talking with people, anybody, where you are not being too careful, where you are not condescending, where you are really wanting and showing people that you want them to be with you. And one of the things that happened to me when I first started working on reproductive rights is I not only got asked, I got asked over and over again to go to the meetings because that made me feel like they were being real, that they really thought it was important for me to come and it was worth my time to show up. And that's when you want more diversity, people have to feel that your asking is real and honest and it matters to them, that they matters to you that they show up.
And I think too that we need to be to outreach to young people of color. I know CALC has a Springfield group has young activists of color, the NAACP as well. We need to be proactive, invite and sit down with them, and find out what they want us to do, not what we want them to do. So that's the first thing I would do, would be to schedule those meetings and talk to those activist young people.
Carrie Thompson, City Club member. And I've worked with homeless on the homeless issues here for the last 4 or 5 years. And I was wondering from both of, and with Michael and Kitty in some ways too, what they think the best ways to move forward right now to between the community, the city, and the county to move forward on the housing issue and get more people helped and housed.
To finish up, I'll be right with you, Carrie, but to finish up that last question, one more thing. I just want to say that white people have work to do. Just to say that you're going to listen to other folks is not sufficient. We have our own work to do, and that's and nobody can do it for you or excuse you. There is serious work to be done. Now back to this, speaking of serious work to be done. So I am very hopeful at this point that, not fast enough by any means, but that we're going to have a shelter in place at some point, a public shelter. And I think we need a public shelter, and I think it's an important thing to do. And frankly, I think you should just annoy the heck out of council, excuse me, Betty, and annoy the heck out of council until that thing gets in place. And then I think you've got to appreciate, we are very good at criticizing and not so good at appreciating the work that people are doing and helping them keep doing it.
We're doing some great things, I think, helping the unhoused in our community. We can thank Dan Bryant for that. The rest stops where people have a safe place to live have been a great success. Remember the city council saying we should have one in every ward. Why is that taking so long to do that? And so I think we really need to go ward by ward and get the support we need to get a rest stop in every single one. I think in addition to that, having a shelter would be great. Once again, why is that taking so long? I know the wheels of government move slowly, and there's good reasons for it. But I think at every city council meeting, we need to be saying, hey, where is that shelter? How can we help you make that happen? Together we need to do it. We just can't be pointing fingers. We need to be working with, the mayor and others to make that happen. And finally, too, we need to be more proactive in saying we should not be citing people, arresting people. I think in Eugene, citing people for sleeping outside. I think there's a group of people in our community who are being targeted, and I think we need to stop that. So we need to be treating everybody with dignity and respect, especially the unhoused members of our community. The other thing that each neighborhood can do, we have car camping. There's lots of different things that we can do. We just got to roll up our sleeves and make it all happen.
So I'm going to take an opportunity, since this is my job, my living, to answer that question too, and promote the three-pronged approach that Speaker of the House, Tina Kotek, is pursuing right now. And the first step is tenant rights. She's already passed a bill, Senate Bill 608, which prohibits no-cause terminations of tenancies after the first year. That's a huge cause of homelessness. The second is a rent cap so that rents, you can raise the rent, but it can't be raised over a certain amount, so we're going to avoid unfair rent peaks spikes. Second issue she's doing is funding for affordable housing and homeless shelters and services. So she's committing a huge amount of money, assuming the Ways and Means works, to do that. And the third is to make cities allow more housing, because it does have an impact. Even though it's moderate income housing that's being built, it has an impact on other housing.
My name is Mariah Learn, and my question is actually for you, John. I'd like to, if possible, I'd like to know the names of all the former Turtle Award winners who sat down and nominated these two for this year. Thank you.
So why don't we do the next question while I think of that answer?
Yeah, I'm Randy Prince, the City Club member. Question primarily for Kitty. It could apply to both of you. Our table was very appreciative of the good work you did in your public career. But we were curious, is there any one decision or policy that in hindsight you regret, something you might have done differently?
I know there's a lot of them, but I was trying to think about it. I'm not a regretter, it's... But I do recognize, I'm going to lowball it this way, Randy. I think most decisions that we make are imperfect. What you try to do is take the best thing you have in front of you and get the best that you can get, knowing full well that when you get it, it's not exactly what you would have if you could have everything. And I think that's one of the biggest things. I can name... Capstone would be one, and some kind of design implementation. We had nothing in our city policies that said that, for instance, Capstone had to build what they showed in the picture they were going to build, and they didn't build what they showed in the picture they were going to build. They built a much inferior product. So I think those are some of the things that I think we could do. I think in every way, trying to figure out how to be able to listen well to people, not let people just be NIMBY, but really trying to hear what they're saying so that you can make the best growth or non-growth decisions that you can in a way that will add to the livability of our community, not take away from it.
Before we thank our speakers, it's time for me to go and introduce you to Eric Richardson, who has a few words to say quickly. Our new president, Eric Richardson.
Well, I wasn't really ready to say much, but I'd just like to thank Joel for his service over the last year, being a mentor and stewarding the City Club into the 21st century as we keep moving forward. And also, I'd like to acknowledge Kitty Piercy and Michael Kerrigan as being two of my mentors in this community who have led by example, and I really do take to heart many of the words and things that you have done over the years I've been here raising my family. So thank you all. I'd also like to thank the board of City Club and our executive director and all the folks who had confidence that I could be of assistance to the City Club as president. I will be diligent in serving City Club, and I look forward to serving over the next year with the mission of bringing community together, which is the mission of the City Club. We are a central spot for our community to air our views and to come together with civility and model for the rest of our citizens how we can get this work done, and the work being building up our community so that it can be, in the words of the faith community, a beloved community. So we are open for suggestions and comments. I hope that I can serve you well, and if you'd like to talk with me or get any information over to me, please just email administrator@cityclubofeugene.org, and that would be Silver. Our executive director would be able to direct me and help me out to answer any of those questions. So thank you very much, Joel, for the opportunity. And thank you all.
Now let's thank our speakers, Kitty Piercy, Michael Kerrigan, and John Van Landingham. Out of time. Thank you. That concludes the program.